to get on up. So Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. Earl did get up this morning. I mean, it's not that he didn't get up, but he's not here. He's working with his Voice of the Elders group. This is Sandy Williams. I've got Scott Williams here with me.
He's got a face made for radio.
Scott.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Connor, how are you this morning?
Doing great.
Good. So how do people call into the show, Connor?
They're going to call 844-967-2789.
There we go.
There it is.
Right at the fingertips. That
automatic.
Time. There we go. So, you know, I just was hearing Earl in the break there. We've got this unique opportunity. Earl's not here. We can talk about Earl.
Talk about Earl. Earl's like...
You know, he said he's not that arrogant. In that ad, he said, I'm not that arrogant. I never put arrogant and Earl together, but we should maybe consider that for a while.
It's like tease that one out a little bit?
No. Earl is well missed. He's going to be... He'll be back on Monday. He's not here tomorrow either, so... he's doing a really worthy thing with his Voice of the Elders group. I think he and I have talked about that, I think he's talked about it on the show several times. But he's getting lots of attention, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally for this initiative that he started, which is extremely worthy in Milwaukee, working with potentially troubled kids to make sure they don't get in trouble. That's basically the notion. So, yeah, we were talking. Yeah,
compassion and leadership.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what it looks. That's what it looks like.
Yep. Yeah, and that's Earl actually. So enough about that. That's some nice stuff. I was hoping we could.
You're trying to drop the oboe. Come off the top rope.
Yeah, get out the knives. Yeah. But there aren't any for Earl. That's too bad.
Hey, the greatest gift of Sandy Williams being on the Earl Ingram show is that guy started listening to the show. So he's. I love his voice, man.
Yeah.
Earl's voice is
amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about made for radio.
Well, kind of.
Well, yeah, you too.
Oh, yeah.
Connor was apparently, he wasn't born. Was your voice that low the first time you talked, Connor? Was your mother like startled when you said, Mother?
Yes.
Mommy.
Is that how you think
actually,
he sounds?
No, my mom has made it a point to tell me growing up that, like, I don't know, I hit like 8 or something, and all of a sudden it just went deep. And it's been the same since for like the past, like, what, 13 years?
Wow. Well, there you go.
Like, it was so weird in high school. Everyone talking like they have helium just lodged in their noses or something. And I'm just like, hi, guys. And I'm like, are you 40? No.
No.
Hey, 40's not that old, man. Don't be weird.
Yeah, it's way young. Well, we were talking, we were kind of morphing.
40's double my life, by the way, but hey.
40's, yeah.
Who's counting?
That's okay. I'm triple.
Right.
More. This is depressing. That's kind of quieted me down.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So.
How did Pee Wee Herman come up before?
Well, yeah, Pee Wee Herman.
What we were remembering, you got to play that sound bit again, because that took me way back.
Oh, are we going to get flagged for copyright if we do?
Oh.
Well, you can do it for like a very brief period of time.
A very brief period of time.
No, like seconds.
Yeah, that's court precedent.
Yeah, no, there's a permitted period of seconds, and then after
is
that,
after that
you pay for it.
Like the everyman standard, we just have to kind of just weigh it out.
Yeah, it's like whatever we figure.
Yeah, what we feel is like, so that feels like it was enough.
Reasonable
standard.
But actually, while you're doing that, I personally had a bigger kick before we went on the air of Connor's beatbox.
Oh, we're gonna have
me beatbox.
Yeah, you're gonna beatbox us into this period, this 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock phase. We need just a little bit of beatbox, and then Scott, do you wanna? You can no.
No, absolutely not.
Nothing.
You're not dragging me into this.
No. There we go. How about that? Can you rap along with that?
You talking to me? No, you got the wrong guy.
That's not. Slow it down.
I'm not going to lay it down. There's no way I'm going to lay it down like that. I'll have to like loop it and then, you know, go in the garage and make sure no one can hear me.
Yeah.
Oh, come
on. And work, feel that out.
What's the point of rapping if nobody can hear you?
Hey. You're right. That's a fair question.
Rhythm and poetry for
you. No, it's true.
You know what?
All right, I was just defeated in like two moves in chess right there.
It's like singing. Like, This morning I had Siri playing music while I was taking a shower. And I started.
That's a lot of information.
I started singing along with it, and Siri said, "Could you please stop singing?"
Oh, here we go.
For real?
Yeah, no. That would have been the ultimate insult, though. Siri says, "Please,
dude,
come on, give us a break."
I'd buy an iPhone just for that.
Yeah,
I just annoy Siri all day.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about issues that turn off the brain, and apparently that discussion
led to Pee Wee Herman.
Turned off our brain.
Yeah, you said turn off brain, my brain was like, ha ha.
I'm trying to.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I have it here.
Here we go. Play
the entire clip.
Well, I don't know. I just want to hear his voice once. Ha ha.
How's it going?
I'm having fun.
There we go.
That's the magic word.
The magic word.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, now...
You know, that show was actually super intellectual.
Now we're into trademark. You know, the thing is, it was supposedly aimed at kids, but it was totally aimed at adults.
Well...
There's no such thing as kid shows, by the way.
Yeah,
like, unless it's like Playhouse Disney or something really, really small, like young.
Yeah.
Most shows for kids are like really, really adult, honestly. It's nuts. And Pee Wee Herman is no...
It's done wonders for American society. So
there was another guy that had a show that was like really double entendre, but aimed at kids, but really naughty.
Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah. I think that was it.
Sam, were you into Ren and Stimpy? I didn't take you as a viewer, but...
No, I didn't watch this show. I just knew about it. People told me about it.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I had a cousin who watched it and told me.
No, I didn't watch every episode of The Simpsons 3 times. Why would I do that?
Yeah. South Park. No, never saw it.
Nope. Wouldn't have watched that at all either, like 10 times.
I watched South Park when I was a kid. I probably shouldn't have, but, you know.
I think you're doing
it. Here's an interesting fact about South Park. Two of the guys who wrote it were Mormons, and they also wrote the musical, The Book of Mormon.
Yep.
So these guys clearly were, they were reactionary, let's put it that way. They were reacting to their upbringing with what they decided to do. But
sounds like they posterized dunked on everybody between the play and the cartoon. I think they win.
Could be. So is Nancy Pelosi back from her trip?
Well, yeah, Sandy, yeah, but, you know, now you put me in a place I can ask you questions because I think your answers will be a lot more insightful than mine. So, yeah, why did Nancy Pelosi go to Taiwan?
You know, that's what troubles me. I was saying before about this friend who is involved with defense intelligence and establishing foreign policy, and what he ultimately agreed to was, number one, that it was aimed at maintaining the status quo, and number two, it's basically aimed at domestic politics. So we've got Nancy Pelosi on the Democratic side trying to show that liberal Democrats can rattle their swords just as loudly, maybe more loudly, than conservative Republicans can rattle their swords internationally. And so just to prove that, she gets on a plane and flies to Taiwan, which is obviously a fragile situation and has been fragile for decades, right? I mean, after this next break, maybe I'll go into a bit of the history, because it's reflective of a situation in which the United States seems to enjoy rolling hand grenades out and then watching the international reaction to it and blaming the other side for their apparently hostile reaction to the presence of a hand grenade that's been rolled into the room. You know, we did it with Ukraine, and now apparently we're using the same strategy with Taiwan. And both of them are tinder cakes, and both of them portend substantial problems. You know, our policy with Taiwan.
What would the Nancy Pelosi say if you asked her why did we, you know, what was the objective for the visit? What would they tell us?
She would tell us the same thing that, and she probably believes it, that it's all about our United States in support of democracy around the world. And that's what we say domestically, and that's maybe what she believes, but our foreign policy otherwise, the way we actually formulate it, is based on our real strategic interests, and it's the geopolitics of the thing, not the ideological issue that actually drives international policy. Are we willing to send troops And are we willing to put our troops in harm's way in order to defend an island which is immediately offshore of China, which is an indefensible place, which actually was part of mainland China during the period of the Chinese Civil War, which was part of mainland China before the Japanese occupied it, and has always been part of mainland China. And so now it's a separate part, but not really, because the Kuomintang, the party that was in control of Taiwan until 2019, asserted that it was the appropriate political party to be in charge of all of mainland China, that it was part of mainland China, and that it was the legitimate party. And we rejected that concept. We rejected it back in 1979 when we signed a treaty that essentially specifically rejected that policy.
So China's reaction with the live ammunition war games that they're conducting now in the apparently in the waters around Taiwan. Why explain why China would perceive that this is in a way a violation of our one China policy? Like, why is it provocative to them?
Well, we had this policy of ambiguity. It was announced. We had an announced policy of China, a one state policy, and this ambiguity policy. And the ambiguity was that we would kind of talk amorphously about Taiwan's status. But the one China policy, the treaty that we signed in 1979, made it very specific that we were recognizing the People's Party of China, the Communist Party, as the controlling government of China, and that there was a one China policy, meaning that Taiwan was part of China. And we never recognized Taiwan as a separate country. We never authorized or wanted them to come into the Olympics. We never did anything that could be read as recognizing them as an actually autonomous country.
So it would be like the leadership from Beijing, from China, coming and talking only with the governor of Alabama.
Hawaii,
yeah. Speaking to the state of Hawaii, that's outside of
yes. It would be like the Xi Jinping flying.
I don't think we would like that.
Flying in with military jets, Chinese military jets, landing in a Hawaiian airport.
Yeah,
and
at Pearl Harbor.
Having a meeting with the governor of Hawaii. We would have a lot of problem with that. And so,
it would be a statement.
And so the main thing that China is doing with this action is demonstrating how it is that it could blockade the island, demonstrating how totally impossible it would be for Taiwan to be to win in a conflict over its independence, and to demonstrate both to Taiwan and the United States the futility of a concept that the United States could defend Taiwan in the circumstance in which
could or would
exactly.
yeah
And so but this is the same thing we did with Ukraine, right? We told Ukraine we would invite them into NATO. We sent them weapons so that they could defend themselves, but all the while we were basically saying, look, incidentally, we're not going to send troops to defend you, and you don't rise to the level of importance to us that we would actually put our national treasure at risk, which is what NATO requires. When you're in NATO, you're required to jump in up to your hips in whatever conflict it is that you need to under Article 5 to defend any member of NATO who's under attack, right? And so that's what we're not willing to do with Taiwan. Everyone knows it. And yet here we are inflaming China, taunting them, essentially.
So it's political posturing for votes for the audience here.
Yes,
their perceptions of Democrats as not being doves.
Yes,
that they can sit up saber rattle with the best of them.
Yeah, and furthermore, we
fortuitous for them also the drone killing of the last mastermind of 9/11.
Right, but the problem is that we not only don't educate the American public about what it is that America might really be interested in what our foreign policy is or should be, but we further remove them from the reality of our foreign policy, leaving them to whip up emotion in the United States that runs contrary to what our policies actually are. So we have Congress now all whipped up to send money and whatever they can to Ukraine, and people in Congress competing with one another about just how exactly extensive we would like our support of Ukraine to be. You know, send troops, send planes, air cover.
Which states defense industries get all that money?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it ultimately comes down to the fact that we need to ask ourselves here in America, why is it that Americans enjoy rolling these hand grenades out and fomenting, creating this stir? So, Connor, are we on the verge of a break here, or are we missing a break?
Well, it's a floating break, so if you guys need to finish up some points, we can go.
I was going to say.
It's fine.
Floating. We're floating.
Yeah, we're floating.
We're sinking, actually.
Taking water?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a longstanding tradition right in America where the government, you know, all the way through the 19th century, for sure, and then I think right up through the Cold War, there was the understanding from the government's perspective that the average American was not informed enough in any way to be able to understand it or appreciate foreign policy, much less participate in dialogue about the creation of policy.
We'll talk about that after the break, because I do believe that our foreign policy is set by essentially what Donald Trump would call an elite, wizards who believe that that they know what the American public can't know, that the intelligence they've received through our intelligence apparatus suggests that they have to set policy.
Shazam.
Yes.